Welcome to the Shooting the Cue podcast, presented by Heath Riles Barbecue, with tips, tricks, and an inside look with some of the top pitmasters in the game. Now here's your host, Heath Riles.
We are back for another episode of Shooting the Cue, and today I'm joined with my lovely wife, Candace. How are you doing today, baby?
I'm a lot better than I was. I just have been congested.
Well, these allergies, everything has kind of come down, unfortunately. At least you don't have the big COVID.
No, everything's yellow. Like all the vehicles right now from all the dust.
I know. The patio looks half terrible. You clean it, and then the next day it's right back loaded up.
Yeah. It's just pollen everywhere.
For sure.
Sneezing and lots of snot. Welcome to the South.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. Well, talk about things. I just had my new barbecue trailer picked up at Southern Dimensions in Georgia, and it got shipped off and it got delivered to Jay's at Outlaw. So hopefully we'll have a new barbecue trailer coming up in a week or two, right before Spring Fest.
What's the trailer going to be like? Because I don't know anything about it. I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be white when it shows up, but besides that, I know nothing.
So this time I went with a smaller footprint. You know, over the years I've kept downsizing. I got really out of control at one time and had a 42-foot gooseneck with living quarters in it and all that stuff we did. And we don't cook a ton of events anymore, but I wanted something that we could showcase at events and small enough that could almost park in a parking place. So I ordered a 16-foot trailer. And 3 foot of that 16-foot is actually just a porch where the cooker will be on the very back. And it's kind of almost like the Rod Gray-type trailer that he had back in the day where the pit was across the back, a Jambo. But it just makes it so much easier for going up and down the road, somewhere to get in and build a blind box. Mine does have a bathroom in it because I think it's senseless to rent porta-johns. That
we still rent them, though, because we don't let anybody come in and use our bathroom.
But I don't want to use a bathroom in a porta-john. I don't want to, so that's why I put one in the trailer.
So you sold the old trailer then because you thought it was too big then? Is that the reasoning?
Okay, so let me tell you about the old trailer, which was really a new trailer, too, because I only cooked on it Memphis in May. That was it.
I remember it. It was like one and done, so I don't even know what it looked
like. There was nothing wrong with the trailer. I got back home, and I made a comment to two or three people that I'd kind of like to go smaller. And, you know, for the last five or six trailers, I've never even advertised it was for sale. Somebody would just call me, and I would go, well, yeah, I'll sell it. Why not? And that's kind of how it happened here. Darren called me, Darren Worth, and said, hey, man, I'm selling my big gooseneck, and I'm going to something. I want something smaller to pull behind a motorhome. And just a comp trailer. And so he knew what I had, and I kind of told him about it and sent him the specs. And Darren was like, okay, where do you want the money sent? It was just that quick. So I didn't mean to really sell the barbecue trailer, but I sold it. And I think he's ordered another one now, or maybe building another one, because he told me he was going to do that. Mm. I don't know if he's going to resell it. It was just kind of a patch job for him at the time.
So is it just going to, our new trailer, is it just going to have the one Outlaw on it? Or what else are you going to have?
Just one Outlaw on it. That's it on the back. Just a 2860 porch model on the back. Keeping it plain and simple. That's really all I need for cooking Memphis-style events and a few KCBS if I do go cook. And it's great for demos and things like that, too. But if I need to throw a drum on the inside or a pellet grill to carry with me for those things, yes, there's room for that. Mm-hmm. But mounted on the back permanently, you just have an Outlaw on the back of it.
Are you going to wrap this trailer?
I am going to wrap it, but I really don't know.
You didn't ever wrap the other one.
I never wrapped the other one, but I'm going to keep this small trailer. It's small enough that I'm going to keep it. I know. But I'm going to keep it. And so I want to wrap it, but I just don't know the design yet. I hadn't.
So it's just like a trailer with a door, a bathroom. I'm sure it has a sink.
It's got a sink.
To the back little porch is all it is.
You can't go out the back to the porch. You have to come out of the main area and walk around to the back of the trailer to the pit. That's why it's so short. It's not a porch trailer. It is a box trailer with a kitchen with a...
That's definitely moving backwards in times.
It's a smaller trailer, a smaller footprint. That was
storming. Oh, well.
Well,
you're going to get wet. Used to, you didn't have to, but this time you will, I guess.
Well, it's cool. It is what it is. It's got awnings and stuff on it.
If it's raining hard enough, those awnings don't always make it, unfortunately.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't plan on cooking 40 events ever again in a year.
I know, I'm not.
I don't need a big trailer with a porch and stuff on it. And as bad as I hate to say this, let's look at barbecue. How many big barbecue trailers are for sale right now on the internet?
I have no idea.
A lot. And why is people downsizing?
Are they downsizing or are they just getting out of barbecue? Honestly.
A lot of people are just downsizing. Some older people are getting out. Yeah. I mean, they've kind of run their course. And let's face it, barbecue is a hobby for the majority of people. So they come in the sport and they stay several years, 10 or 12 years, and they wind up just cooking on their back porch for their friends. There's not a lot of people that turns this into a full-time business like some of us have. So it's kind of two sides of it. I don't know. A lot of people get into competition barbecue when they retire. And some do it and then retire and don't do comp barbecue. So it's kind of, I think, what your kind of day job is.
It's a lot of work for somebody that's retired. If you want to be retired, why do you want to go cook a bunch of barbecue and do all that work? But that's just me. I'm just my perspective.
Oh, I know. I know you would rather be at the house or at a pool.
I mean, I've been there, done that. I mean, it was a lot. I'm not saying I don't like doing it occasionally, but, yeah, I agree. I don't want to go back and do like we used to. I mean, we can't. Our business and our life doesn't allow that now.
Oh, no doubt. So. Well, hopefully the new trailer will be down here in a couple weeks, you know, because Spring Fest is in a few weeks. It's 3 weeks from now. So, it'll be 3 weeks from now. So, maybe we can get it here, and I hope to have it wrapped by Spring Fest, but that may not happen.
That's going to be cutting it close.
That will be cutting it really close. So, it may be after Spring Fest when it gets wrapped before Memphis in May.
Well, all right. Well, what else are you working on? What's anything new?
Well, yeah, I'm not working on it. We've got two more glazes in the hole that's about to launch.
Still working on it, kind of. Not working on the recipe, but working on all the back
process of it. Yes, it is. So we have labels being made right now currently for an apple habanero glaze and a pineapple habanero glaze. And I did not come out with those two. I had them ready when I launched the other three, but I didn't want to launch five at first. I wanted to see how it was going to go. And honestly, it's a lot of money to tie up to launch five products at one time. And so I just wanted to wait and see the reaction of it. And the reaction has been incredible. And so with that being said, you know that I cook with apple the majority of the time in my sauces or pineapple. And those are like my flagship glazes. The other three I do use, but not like those two that I'm coming out with now. I use those two more in pork recipes than I do anything. Yeah. So they should be out sometime. I hope to have them here by Spring Fest and on the website. That's my goal.
You're getting a little crazy there, but maybe.
Well, we've got 3 weeks. I mean, labels are in production right now. And so I've actually have a deadline of the 12th is what I have a deadline of. So
we'll see.
That's with the co-packer. I don't know if that 12th will be hit. It may be the next week, but we're going to try to have it on the website by Spring
Fest.
Well,
even if they hit that, I mean, that's just them having it done. We still have a lot of steps after that.
We still have to get it transported to the warehouse, get it put in systems, get all that kind of stuff going. But it shouldn't take long for
all
that.
So how long did you work on all these glazes over? I mean, so basically you developed all five is what you're saying at once. Or not at once, but over time.
Well, you know, I've been making an apple glaze and a pineapple glaze and things like that for over 10 years, especially the apple. And the other flavors just was real easy to do when you start.
But it's not as easy to when you're making it yourself and what you're using to make it versus trying to bottle it.
It's a lot different. It's a lot different. You've got to figure out your ratios for scaling. And we run into the problem with habanero mash is that the Scoville units are different on every group. And so it's kind of hard unless you blend a mash together and get a consistent Scoville unit. And that's what I was looking for. So I was trying to use habanero powder in my glazes.
Are you saying that right?
Versus habanero mash. Yes, it's called habanero mash, which is ground up habaneros, basically. And so the Scoville units, how hot they are, you know.
I know, but yeah.
And so in order to have a more consistent product, I could not use the powder because it kept floating to the top. And so even shaking them up, it kept floating back to the top. So we had to go with that mash. And it created a little bit of a, I'm not going to say issue. I just had to change it because that mash is a lot hotter than the powder was. Yeah. So I had to back off on that a little bit. But I'm not a huge, I like habaneros as a mild habanero, but I do not want my glazes to burn you up because I've had some others in the past, some competitors that I've tried to use, and it just would burn me up. And so I wanted to create something that was very well balanced. And so my glazes are not hot, even though they say habanero on them. Yeah. They have a little bit of spice to them, but that's it. They're not hot. Our kid, our two-year-old, even eats them on certain things.
Not two yet.
Well, she's about to be two. I call her two. She's about to be two.
Almost.
Almost. Almost.
All right. So coming up, some of the barbecue contests are starting to peak around here. So the first one coming up is Atoka.
Well, Atoka is this week, actually.
Yeah.
And I really wish, well, it's the end of the week, and the same as Colin's birthday at the end of the week. So I really wish that we were still cooking Atoka, but trading it off for my little girl's birthday, a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, so it's an NBN contest for those that aren't around here.
It is, and I can't remember when it started, but I know that we have won that contest. Has it been, I want to say 4 or 5 times, but I may be wrong.
Honestly, not sure off the top of my head, but
I can tell you this. Atoka is one of those contests where I guess that it rings in the back of my head, or Atoka in general, because that's the contest I got the phone call that my dad was passing away. Mm-hmm. And I had to leave from there and go to the hospital. And I don't remember if that was the Invitational or it was the Atoka contest. I cannot remember.
I feel like it was the Invitational, but I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I just know it was at Atoka contest. And, you know, Atoka's always been so good to us. We've always been up on the hill, on the high side. We always had a bigger spot because we had a bigger trailer. And it usually rained out there and got a muddy mess. But up on the hill where we were at, we never really fought the mud because we were up on the hill. And I just know that contest, I just bring it up just because of that with my dad and all that. And we have won that thing several times. But it's tucked away in a city park up there behind some baseball fields. And Atoka's a nice little town. It's got several nice little restaurants and things like that. And it's a great little spot, and it's turned into a huge contest. They usually have pushing 60 teams.
Is there a restaurant there that we used to go to? Like, or is that a different city?
There is so
many. I know that, like, every city has a certain restaurant, I feel like, that we go to. But is there one there or no? No?
I think there's one off the square that we, like, won in this old steakhouse or something. You remember
that? That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. Had, like, a garden vibe you walk through. You remember that? To get in.
Yes. But was that, so that was there?
I want to say yes, it was. I want to say yes, it was. That was either in Atoka or Arlington. No, it wouldn't have been Arlington.
No, it's not Arlington.
What else is out that way?
I don't know.
It would have been Atoka. That's right. That would have had to be Atoka.
I kind of feel like I get Arlington and Atoka mixed up too, as far as the actual, not.
Mixed up.
Well, just like. I guess both of them really do, like, all of the ancillaries and stuff, though. Like, do a good job at
they do
doing all that. But
Atoka's even got bologna.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. I don't remember. We done it one time, but they do. I think they have, like, 9 or 10 ancillaries. It's a lot. You remember, that's where they do the Mayor's Pie Challenge. Mm-hmm. And even a lot of people in the community come turn in pies for the mayor to judge, which I think is cool. Yeah. It kind of.
It's like an older
small town vibe.
People don't do anymore.
It gives it that small town vibe. Yeah. And I don't, for me growing up where I grew up at, I can remember going to the fair and seeing all the ladies, you know, do all the canned stuff, and they judged on that, and they done the pies and the cake judging and all that. And they done.
Y'all's fair was not, it was like a carnival though.
It
the
was
Ashland
but,
Fair compared to like the fair in but Memphis.
It had went away though. By the time you had started.
They still have a little fair there. It's just very small. But it's a small town, so it's still something for the town to do.
Well, all those barns used to be nice. And so everybody had sheep and pigs and goats and cows and show cows, a lot of 4-H stuff.
Well, they still do. Do they still do that pig scramble in Ashland?
Yes, they do. They do still do a pig scramble. And so for everybody who's not know about this, so this is like the little rodeo, and they put everybody in, the kids in the arena, and they get them out
not
in segmented
kids.
Groups, right? Kids.
With small
and
pigs.
It's different age groups, and they take different size little pigs, everything from piglets to, what would you say, 50-pound pigs, 60-pound pigs?
They probably weren't that big. Or, well, it depended on the size of the kid, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
They would grease these pigs up with baby oil. And oh, they would step out about 10 foot from the kids. They would make all the kids get in line.
It's true.
When the man dropped the hat, he would turn the pig loose. And everybody, whoever caught the pig, got to keep the pig. And that was a big deal. And coming up, raising Blaine, you remember when he caught a pig?
Yes.
And I said, what are we going to do with it, son? He said, we're going to cook it. We're going to raise it.
He was little then.
And he was so little then. And that's my son. He's now 18. And he was probably, what, 10 or 12 then, maybe?
I don't even think he was that old.
Well, he had caught that pig, and I'll never forget that look in his eye. And finally, an older gentleman we knew was like, you want to sell that pig, son? I'll give you $40 for it or whatever. You know, this guy raised pigs, and I know his name, Mr. Bolden. And Blaine said, yeah, and he put that money in his pocket and went to Carnival and blew it, but... He's still blowing money.
That was his
first transaction of winning something and selling it.
18 and still blowing money. So.
But that was a really good. We had fun as kids coming up, and I wish that town's done more events like that. They still do in a small town and hold a beat review. But those are the things that I remember coming up as a kid. Those were really fun times, for sure.
Did you ever catch a pig?
Yes, back when I was a kid. Several. Me and my brother used to catch them a lot. A lot. But we were raised in the country. I mean, we used to harvest our own pigs and all that and grow them and cows, and we had gardens and all that. My grandmother put up peas and corn and made her own tomato sauce and canned her own tomatoes and peas. And I mean, it was just a way of life. Every year we slaughtered at least 2 hogs and had country hams and bacon and pork chops. I mean, it's just what we did. I mean,
yeah.
When you broke, that's what you got to do.
I mean, there's some people that do that, but just not. It's not as common as it used to be.
It's not, but you know, some of the butcher shops that we're lucky enough to pair it with or buy meat from, and even some of the local farmers around here, I've gotten some local pork and some local beef, yeah. and there's, to me, that's supporting small town. I don't want to say country living, but that beef and that pork is so much better than some of the commercialized stuff that we go to the store and buy.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. I mean, there is a huge difference in that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, coming up, kind of got off track off a toco, but another event coming up is Hogs for Cause.
Yeah, it's actually this weekend as well. And we just had James Cruz on the podcast last week. And he's with Fire and Spice down there, and they've got a team. Several guys come together, and they all raise money and put it in a pot. And it all goes to pediatric brain cancer. And this year, you know, you have to go on a waiting list to get in this event to cook it and do it. It is a big deal. And so you see a lot of mega teams being created now, and I believe I've seen to where Boar's Night Out, The Shed, 3 Taxi Guys, and maybe somebody else are all coming together to create a team now.
Oh, really?
And they're going to be cooking it. And there are several big names going together that go cook that contest of under different team names. Really, nobody goes down there. Anwar's going.
Yeah, I know he's
going. I don't really know what they're calling their team down there.
Not sure either.
But Austin's going with him.
Yeah.
To do some of that. So it's everybody's kind of created some of these mega teams. I really wish we could go, but we got the little one's birthday at home this weekend, and the Memphis in May meeting is Sunday.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. Got to go pick up our packet and get ready for Memphis in May.
So it begins.
So it begins. Well, I felt that in your voice there. Oh, so it begins. So tell us, what are you looking forward to at Memphis in May? Or really, before we get to Memphis in May, we got Spring Fest coming up.
Yeah.
And the week of Spring Fest, I will be out of town the beginning of the week. Mm-hmm. which
Shields,
I'm not going to say sucks because Shields does an awesome job. So for anybody who's not know, Shields is an outdoor store, and they have, what, close to 40 locations now, I believe?
I don't know that off the top of my head, but they're consistently opening more.
Yeah, consistently, and they are huge. Some of the stores have Ferris wheels in them. Some
bowling
of
lanes.
Bowling lanes.
All kinds of stuff. It's if you are from the South, you are probably not familiar with Shields. But
Texas has some.
Yes, I believe so. But it's a wonderful store. I wish we had them here.
They're based out of North Dakota, and so I have to go to Fargo, and they call it the Shields Barbecue Academy. Mm-hmm. And so what they do is they bring in all the pretty much as many as you can. They change them out every year. Associates that work in the grill department, right? And these associates get paired up, five or six of them, and they pair them up with somebody like me, and they give us a couple briskets, and we teach the guys how to cook briskets. And what's unique about it, we can't touch anything. We're just coaches. And so we get to tell them what to do, and we get paired with a grill company or a smoker company, and everything kind of flows as us being coaches, teaching these guys how to go out and cook a brisket, a backyard brisket, you know, for the first time, because brisket's really intimidating for a lot of people. And they just do such a good job at the educational piece of training that. Then these guys go back and they're standing on the sales floor, and old Jim walks up and he's looking for a grill and wanting to cook a brisket, and they walk him pretty much through everything that we've done.
Well, you also educate them on your products.
We do.
Not just you, but, you know, the other people that are invited to be there. That way they're familiar with a wide variety of all the products that they sell, because Shields has a great spice department. Spice, sauce, glaze. I mean, they have a wide variety to choose from.
They're one of the few retailers. They almost, as large as they are, they act like a small mom and pops, because mom and pops wants to bring in everything that you've got.
Well, and I feel like you didn't touch, you talked about the barbecue part, which I know we are barbecue, but they also do that not just for barbecue.
For hunting, fishing.
They do it for pretty much everything. So all of their employees are very educated on all of the products that they sell in their store, whether it's guns. I mean, they have the gun people there.
I know. We don't hang around for that or get invited out, but they get to go to the shooting range and shoot all these new guns.
I mean, they vary.
Trout all these new products.
I think it's great
products.
That they educate them like that, so they can truly answer the consumer's questions and speak from experience, not just what they've been told to say, you know?
That's right. Well, a lot of people, you see a product pop up in a store, and let's face it, you go somewhere and the associate don't even know about the product.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about it. They can't tell you. They don't know. And it's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and you ask a server for a recommendation. If they can't give you a recommendation, even though they've never ate that said product, they almost need to fib about it and be consistent about it. Because if you know,
I feel like they do sometimes. Because well, sometimes if I take their record, I'm like, they lied, because this is not good.
Yeah, but you get where I'm going with that. If you're knowledgeable and know your subject and all that kind of stuff, things flow better.
Yeah.
If you're not, they don't flow as well. And you see that in some servers like you do in some salespeople. And so you really have to know those things. But we fly out on that Monday, do training on Tuesday, and I fly back late Wednesday. And
kind of early Wednesday.
Is it? Well, then Anyways. We turn around and we load into Spring Fest for Thursday and Friday. And we.
But I interrupted you. I think, so it's kind of like a mini contest that the associates have with each other, correct?
Yes.
So you teach them to cook the brisket, and then it's kind of like a contest from there, and they have judges, and a winner gets picked and all that kind of stuff too.
They
kind of as a team building exercise for them as well.
It is just really cool of how they do it all. And they've catered these guys breakfast, lunch, dinner. And for them, it's not so much for us. We're one part of that section. And like you said, they're having other training sessions in amongst that, right?
Yeah.
And so when we get that brisket on and all that, I have to stay there to babysit the brisket on the grill while these guys go back in a training class. And they're in and out of training classes, and they give them breaks to come out there and look at the food and all that. I'm basically just sitting there chilling, all of us barbecue guys talking, and there may be a cocktail involved or something like that.
So this will be your first year back, because you didn't go last year.
I did not go last
year. But I've been with you before, but you didn't get to go last year.
And I'm kind of glad I didn't go last year.
Oh, yeah, they had the snowstorm.
So everybody got up there, and then like 12 inches of snow fell. And nobody had any clothes, so everybody had to go to Shields, buy clothes. And luckily, they were not in a parking lot. They had a pavilion over them and had a room to be in. But, you know, in the years past, it was kind of all outside and just in the hotel.
Well, it was warm. I mean, it wasn't hot, but it was, you know, you didn't have to wear a jacket, really, that I remember. Well,
I really hope 3 weeks from now that it's still not cold in Fargo, North Dakota. But I bet we're still wearing hoodies and clothes, thick, no shorts.
I hope
and short
you're wearing sleeves. Clothes.
Well, of course. I mean, but no short sleeves. It's going to be jacket weather, I feel like, for sure.
Maybe.
So, coming back that Wednesday, though, and then rolling right into Spring Fest, I got to have some stuff tightened up within the next couple of weeks to make all that work.
Yeah, because you had the bright idea that you wanted to cook crawfish and do all this stuff at Spring Fest, which, I mean, we did that last year.
Yeah, I'm going to cook some crawfish and drink some cold beer. Just is what it is. But we're not going to do it Thursday this time. We're going to do it that Friday.
Yeah, I guess we did do it Thursday last year, didn't we?
Shannon Lacey's coming back into town. I think several other sponsored teams that we help sponsor are coming in to cook South Haven. South Haven's a huge, has turned into a really big event.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there will be usually over 50 KCBS teams and over 50 NBN teams, and they usually have a great band lineup and everything playing. And Saturday night, all the teams get to go there for free if they want. And it's been Dave Matthews before.
Retired, usually. I haven't even heard this year about a band.
I hadn't either.
That's going to be playing there. But how many times have we, or well, I say we, but you cooked that contest? Because I know you cooked it even before we
I started cooking it in 2007 and have not missed a single year. And it's 2024, so whatever that would be. I don't know. And I think I've won it.
A lot.
10.
So it's an NBN and a KCBS
times,
contest, but we are only doing NBN ribs this year.
We're only doing NBN ribs, yes. I'm just practicing for Memphis in May. You know, in the years past, knock on some wood here, I was very fortunate enough to win two grands there one day, KCBS and NBN. and that was a lot of work. So you remember that day. And
going back to those days, I don't want to go back to.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to say that I'm burned out, but just as busy as we are and how we do things now, doing that one category is all I need. That rib is fine for me, just getting that practice.
I mean, I feel like we could do it again because it's not like it takes a week or anything. You just do it within those 2 days. But, yeah, it's very tiring and it's a lot of work to do. What, seven categories if you do all of them?
Well, I'm officially retired from Whole Hog. So I said that at Spring Fest, three years ago?
It's such a mess to clean up. And, I mean, I have cleaned it up by myself cooker many a time. So I feel like I can say that.
So many times by myself. And I don't, you know, let's face it, rib is the hardest category to win with. Everybody knows that. And I've got it in my mind that if I'm going to win, I want you to know I've done it the hardest way.
Well, and when we say that, I guess it's just because it's hard to really wow somebody with just a rib. Because, you know, speaking from NBN, you know, you have a lot of times judges go for the whole hog just because you have, you know, all of these things that go along with it. And I just feel like it's hard to impress sometimes with when you have this whole huge animal laid out here with all of these pieces they're trying, and then you just have a rib.
Well, and that's where, to me, it goes back to it's hard to mess up a large cut of meat. It's very hard.
It's hard, but I feel like whole hog is still hard to cook because you have to have the different pieces cooked to the different temperatures. Because if you overcook the loin, then it's mush.
I don't think it's that hard.
But you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
You have to learn it.
But at the end of the day, I don't think cooking whole hogs are that hard. And I might have some people upset over that. But in competition barbecue, it is a lot of work.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that at all. It's a lot that goes into it, a lot of flavors you can impart into it, a lot of things you can do. But when you get it on a cooker, you know your hams are going to need more heat than the shoulders. Yeah. You know if you isolate your loin, you're going to slow it down. And so there's a few little tricks like we do, packing the loin with butter and bacon and sausage and all that mess. It slows it down. And if you get your shoulders away from your hot fire end, they're going to settle in where they need to be over the hams. So even though it is hard to cook, if you've got a decent cooker to cook on, a lot of these guys are either cooking on Backwoods Pro Comp hog cookers, they're cooking on the new Outlaw BFO where you shovel the coals under and they're only cooking a hog 6 hours, or they're either cooking on an old hickory or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you stick it on, and either you're basting that hog after so many hours, or you're just letting it go and getting that skin right, and then wrapping it up, letting it get tender, and then saucing it up the next morning. Me personally, I don't see a huge amount of skill set in that after you learn a process. That rib, you've got 15 to 20 minutes of it ruining it or being perfect. If you're not watching it, depending on the thickness, how thick it is, how marbled it is, you can lose it. It is. We know it's way harder to win with, so I consider it more of a challenge than the whole hog.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
It is easier to cook because it's a shorter time frame, but it's harder to manage that rib. And if it was just a whole rib shootout series or whatever, it is hard for a rib to win. You take it to fact, Memphis in May, it took 22 years for a rib to win it again. Why? It's hard. Yeah. And you know John David, John Dalton and them put off Shane one hell of a rib to do it with. The cards has got to fall right in any contest. I get it.
You got to be on your judging, too, at Memphis in May. And I have judged John David, and I'm sure he was.
John David's spot on.
Yeah.
He sold.
Great salesman.
Ice to an Eskimo, just like me. I mean, dirt to a ditch digger. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've actually judged him on ribs before. Not at Memphis in May, but just an NBN contest.
I've judged him on shoulder before is what I judged.
Well, I say ribs. Was it?
You did judge him on ribs before.
Okay. I was going to say.
You judged Myron on ribs one time.
I did. That was a different contest, though. I've judged Myron.
He wasn't your best that day either.
He was not. He was not.
I remember that for sure. But I mean, but we're going to start practicing, and we've got fresh ribs coming in. Matter of fact, we're fishing do a good turn and burn practice next week. A full on run for South Haven the next 2 weeks in a row to get ready for it.
Hope somebody's ready to eat some ribs because it's not me.
I'm sure some of our lovely police friends will get some ribs and.
Firefighter friends
and some of the crew here at work. But, yeah, we're getting out the BFO. She's coming out, and we're fishing to lay her down and get some practice runs down. So
was there a craziest moment from Springfest last year?
Last year?
Yeah. Or in any years past, I guess. Not just last year.
I mean, any years past, yes. There's so much that's happened at Springfest. Oh, my God. You remember the year that it was hailing golf balls? I don't think you were there that morning. And I was holding the corner of a tent and the wind was picking me up.
Is that when me and Mark West were on the way, or was that a different point?
That was when y'all were on the way.
Yeah, we drove in that rainstorm.
Water was coming over my rubber boots, going into my, getting my feet wet from the, that's how deep the water was in our.
It stormed booth really bad that day. It was still storming when we got there.
We watched the tornado pass in the horizon. I'll never forget it. I don't remember what year that was. That was a heck of a year.
Gosh, that was like 2009, 10, around that time.
Eight, yeah, somewhere up in there.
It was a long time ago.
I remember we won the contest that day. But
I do remember that. That was
and triple finals.
I mean, there's always been, I don't know, craziest moments. I mean, hook-related. But then there's always,
Springfest has always been the craziest party place for people.
I feel like it's just not like it used to be, though.
No.
Like that's not what it is anymore. But in the past,
2008, 2009, 2010 at Springfest, 2011, 12, those were the crazy years. There were teams that got barred for fighting, music.
That's why I was sitting here thinking of somebody just knocking somebody out and them, like, falling in the mud. Like, I remember.
Just crazy stuff.
Stuff like that.
We've had, back in the day, had fire marshals standing outside the booth. If one person went out, they'd let one person in. That was how many people was in our tent.
Yeah, it's just not like that anymore. Those days are not.
I worked in the beer business, and we carried, over 100 can cases of beer, and I think we floated 27 kegs one year.
Yeah. At Springfest. Not many.
At Springfest. That was a crazy, crazy time. And that was back when I was head of Boars Night Out. And a lot of people probably don't know that I started that team There wouldn't be one if it wasn't for without me. But those were the good old days. We used to have some heck of some parties back then.
Those bright orange shirts we wore.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to be sponsored by Hooters and several other great chains then. And
they were great then. Doesn't mean they're great now.
Whew, those are the glory days. Lord have mercy. It makes my head hurt thinking about it over here.
What? So would you say your most memorable win at that contest was the time that you won both?
I do think it was. I was on a pretty good tear then. What year was that, 2016?
I'm terrible at remembering these things.
I don't remember. It was somewhere in that time frame. But I do remember that we did not final in hog. We did not final in shoulder. And I didn't think I was going to final in rib because I'd give away a couple of slabs of ribs that were left over already. We had put everything up and even pulled the coals out of the rib cooker, that HBP. And that was the only thing still sitting on the ground, I remember. And we had the awning out and cheers. We'd even put the bar up. We had to get the bar back out. And they brought a final sign around, and we made rib finals. And I can tell you a couple of the finals judges because I still remember them. I don't. I do.
Who? Were the finals
I remember Dalton was a finals judge. You know who I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Chuck Averwater. I remember those two. And we ended up winning ribs that day with a first-place rib. But before the rib win, the KCBS Awards, and we took a –
I don't remember those. I mean, I remember, but I don't remember what place we took.
We took a 180 –
Is that when you got so mad about the brisket? Was that contest? Feels like it was, but
I think it was that contest.
Well, you're welcome, then.
We got a first-place brisket, and it was breaking in the middle because of a fat vein, and I cut them and walked out of the trailer and told you I wasn't going to turn it in a box.
Threw it down.
You turned it in, and it got a 180, and I got a 180 rib that day. As well in KCBS. And then I got first place MBN rib, and I won the KCBS grand, which everybody thought was crazy. We had two 180s. And I remember we were running hard against Patrick Banks then, and he had a 180 at that contest too, and pork maybe.
He was mad.
Patrick did get upset then. I mean, it was just, I don't think he was upset. We all had I'm not ever going to call it a feud because me and Patrick are friends, but who don't want to win? And so we had this friendly back and forth. I'm going to beat you today. I'm going to not beat
you. Shit-talking.
Yeah, we were shit-talking 110%. And so then it's recorded on camera. I'll never forget. I don't remember who recorded this, but I went back and watched it later. And this was somebody across the way, like, who you think is going to win? And it kept going back. There's no way that Heath is going to win. There's no way. And we won that KCBS with those two 180s. When it got out, and then we got that rib call, and we won first place rib, and then they called us for grand for it, and walked out with two grands, and I'll never forget. I mean, I was still blown away the whole time it was going on. I think we won almost $9,000 that day, and Waylon and Malcolm were pulling off, and they pulled up and rolled down the window, and of course, Waylon was driving.
No.
And Malcolm was sitting there, and he looked over at me, and he's like, man, what the hell? And I'm like, I don't know. And they congratulated me or whatever. But that was a really cool moment. But I remember jumping on a plane that Sunday, and I flew out of town. I went to Tommy's house in Virginia after that.
I don't remember.
Yep.
It's all blur.
I remember those things.
Contest and the winning, but I don't remember what you did the next day.
I remember all those little details on things like that. I don't know how I can remember all those little details, but – I can even remember somebody.
I remember who recorded it because I remember they had negative things to say. We'll talk about that later, but I remember who it was.
I remember also.
Because their negative comments were on the video as well. Remember?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember who it was.
I was on live.
Yeah.
But I also remember I thought somebody stole my money after we got back from awards that I had my wallet and stuff in the trailer.
It was probably in your truck with that box this morning that you sent all of our employees on a goose chase on.
Hey, I can't remember everything.
It was in your back seat.
I can't remember everything. My bad. But Springfest has been good to me regardless. Over the years, I can't remember how many times I've won that thing. 8, 9, 10, 12, I don't know. I'd have to go count trophies up, to be honest, and look back. I don't know.
I don't know how either. It's always a good contest, though. And it's got, like, the carnival for the kids, and it's got vendors, food vendors, and all that stuff. So.
And now that it's paved, it's so much better. It's not in the mud. But if it rains, don't park at the pecan orchard.
No.
Do yourself a favor. Don't do
it. You know it's going to. It's going to either rain before or during, and it's going to get all messed up. It does every year.
I know you're not going to park your ride in the pecan orchard.
I mean, I don't know. I have four-wheel drive.
Be pulling it out of there. Well, after we leave Springfest, there's not but a couple weeks later, and we are at Memphis in May. Mm. Yeah, so it does not take very long, and we are there. And as you know, today we're at the beginning of April, like I said. We still got a lot of things to get accomplished before then. We've got to order some more signs. I think we're finalizing some T-shirt designs. We just got some stickers in. We got some samples that'll be here to pass out. It's a lot of moving parts right now.
Flowers and plates and everything.
I'm glad you said that. You need to make an order. Go ahead and get that in here. I mean, but going into Memphis in May this time, it's back at Tiger Lane.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that, being on pavement, not dirt.
So the last time we were at Tiger Lane, you had good luck there.
I did have good luck at Tiger Lane last time we were there. I mean, winning the 2022 Rib World Championship was a great feeling. And last year coming in, was it ninth place?
I'm bad at that stuff.
I think it was ninth place last year that we come in. But I was less than a quarter point away from having a perfect score. I was 0.14 away from making finals. So even at ninth place.
Yeah. I mean, scores there are that tight always. So.
Yeah, but I'm not changing a thing is where I was going with that. I'm going to cook the same exact rib I cooked again. It's not worth changing. I mean, you just got to get – we won our table, just one judge. If we'd had one more fraction point above, we would have carried on.
So you've pretty much already started – practicing though, because and then you were talking about coming up in a few weeks, you know, the next few weeks you're going to be cooking, then you're cooking at Spring Fest, which I mean, yeah, we're cooking to win Spring Fest, but technically that's a practice too because you're still cooking ribs. So,
well, I've practiced small batches of ribs at home.
Yeah,
now I'm gonna drag out the BFO Outlaw and I will cook the same amount of ribs for practice and South Haven that I will cook at Memphis in May. Because if you're loading your cooker down with two or three slabs of ribs, you're not doing yourself justice.
True.
If you're not cooking on the same grill. So I kind of want to get that practice in on the same grill, get my timing down, how many logs I'm going to use on the fire. You know, I like all that. I calculate everything, the weather, and just get it right. I mean, that's all. Burn smooth.
So you said you're going to pretty much do the same recipe that you did back in 2022.
When I say tweak, it's going to be a fraction of a tweak. I'm going to tweak my finishing dust just a spridge. That is it.
So we're cooking, well, I say we, it's not going to be we, but we're signed up to cook all the ancillaries this year at Memphis in May too, because, you know, we have different people that are coming to cook with us like they always do, and they like cooking those, so... We're pretty much doing all of those, right? The beef and
Bobby T is back, and he's going to be doing the wings
and beef
and the beef like he's done. And last year he had a perfect score in both. And then we've got exotic chicken, seafood, and turkey smoke, and it's up between Jake and Shane of what they want to choose a piece two and two.
Yeah, and then we'll turn in salsas, of course.
Yeah, and I'll make the salsas and all that, but it's
I've always kind of wondered why Memphis in May doesn't do a dessert category, because so many of your big contests do, like the Jack and all of those big elaborate contests. And a lot of the MBN, I mean, it's an ancillary, but still, like, why? I've always wondered why Memphis in May doesn't do that, because I feel like those desserts would be really – big and elaborate there like they are at some of those other contests.
I think you'll see some changes being made at Memphis in May. Rumor has it they're going to add a Bloody Mary contest.
Well, that's another one that's pretty common at a lot of your contests, you know. I feel like it depends. Each contest kind of has their specialty. Like, one of our favorite contests is the Watermelon Festival down in
Water Valley.
Water Valley. You know, they always have watermelon themed ancillaries. Like, I think they have like a watermelon, but then don't they do like a watermelon drink as well?
They do. They do.
Like a watermelon dessert. I always find it neat when they do stuff like that.
It was good because I judged down there one year. You remember we did the watermelon margaritas were killer that I had in there.
Yeah.
I remember that. Now that you're saying that. But that is a great little contest too, but it's so hot.
Oh, it's always
very, it's in August. Very, yeah. It's so hot.
It's always very hot there.
So hot. But, you know, talking about Tiger Lane and out there close to our house, we've already kind of made some strive on getting everything correct from FCMA. Like I said, we're kind of, I feel like, a little ahead of the curve instead of like usual. We started to get the ball rolling on things to be the beginning of April. So, we've got about 6 weeks, like I said, we'll be at Memphis in May.
So are you going to do, like we've done in the past, content-wise, while we're at Memphis in May, like kind of have our people follow along and make a video about it?
We are. We're going to make a little video about it, and I'm planning on maybe doing some live podcasting there from the grounds this year and some interviews with some other teams. And
lots of people are going to be there this year, not necessarily cooking, but I know a lot of our friends have reached out that – either haven't been before or haven't been in a while, and they're coming to be there, you know. So maybe we can catch some of those people.
It should be a good time.
I think so. What about, are we sponsoring anything at Memphis in May this year like we've done in the past?
We are sponsoring the Cooker Caravan. So that is where they bring people around and let them taste different team stuff. But we are sponsoring the Cooker Caravan this year at Memphis in May.
But we're not actually doing it, are we?
No. Yeah.
It is pretty neat, though. I think so. Teams can sign up to be a part of that. Is that how that works?
Yes, teams can sign up to be a part of the Cooker Caravan.
And then they're kind of given the times of when the people will come through to taste the product.
That's right.
Yeah.
Given three groups and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we've done it before, right? Yeah. It's been a while, though.
It's been a while. We just stay so busy with the other media that it's kind of hard. And
I know.
We do a huge practice run ourselves. So at Memphis in May, usually on Thursday before Friday.
Yeah. So who's cooking with us this year at Memphis in May on our team?
You got Bob, you got Jake, you got Shane, you got Lacey, you got Robert and Aaron, of course.
Austin. Barry.
Mitchell. Barry Bedwell. Who else? I think Tommy Houston may be coming back.
We didn't scare him off last year.
I don't think so. He said he was going to try to do it.
I mean, he's been before last year. Last year was the first time he had been in a few years.
My buddy TJ.
And I remember, do you remember Tommy's comment last year? I do. I died laughing.
What?
He was like, I don't see how these people drink all this vodka this early. He came up to me and he was like, it's like 10 in the morning and they're all drinking vodka. And I was like, I don't know, Tommy. I
used to do it in my younger days. I can't do it no more like that.
He was like, I just don't see how everybody's functioning on all this vodka. I was like, well, I got water. I don't know.
I've seen a day where it hadn't been water with you.
Yeah, well, it happens.
It happens.
Seen a day where it wasn't water with you, too, so.
Well, I've been subject to have a few early morning brews before. Well, is there anything else that we've got coming up?
No, I mean, that's most of what we have coming up. All of the contests in April and then May, you know, Memphis in May is the biggest thing that we do for a while, I feel like. And then you've just got the busy season.
Yeah, we do have a very busy season. And amongst all that, we're trying to finish up our farmhouse.
I hope it's finished soon.
Filming place and all that. So.
So you've got, I mean, all the contests, you've got the product launches coming up that you talked about. New trailer will be here soon. I mean,
a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
A lot of moving parts. Well, with that being said, I hope everybody enjoyed today's show. And I got to get back to these moving parts now. I'll see y'all next week on another episode of Shooting the Cue.
Thank you for tuning in to the Shooting the Cue podcast. If you have any comments or suggestions for future episodes, please feel free to reach out to us on our social media channels or through our website, Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. Leave us a review if you enjoyed the show. Until next time, keep shooting the cue.